Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode, what could be scarier than a ghost in a Halloween store? A mother falls asleep in her child's bed but is awoken by something pretending to be her husband. Could a woman have caught a glimpse of her future self? And a teen in a car accident swears her late father came to her rescue. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
I think a ghost in a Halloween store would be kind of like a ghost in a fake haunted house.
It'd be hard to notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would just kind of blend in. I mean, depending on what it's doing, really. I mean, a lot of that stuff, I think there's probably more haunted houses than we realize.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, huh. I mean, and if you think of it, too, it's just a giant cornucopia of nerves, people going into that thing. So take the haunting thing out of the equation. Just, it's just all this energy right there.
Yeah.
Lines and lines of people sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of people line up for some of these things. I would just think, that in itself would be just a giant magnet for that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So anyway, I'm excited to read those stories. Phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. To share your real ghost story with us, of course, you can also write it on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click on the Tell Us Your Ghost Story button or email me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's my email address. There you go. Lots of ways to get your stories to us. As I'm speaking, I'm purging old email because I got a notice on, because I use Gmail for our emails here. And it's like, sorry, there's too many emails on your server. So I am having to go back to 2015 and just kind of start at the end and just dump all the junk and just stupid notices of this and that. For a while I didn't have a good spam filter on there, so there's a lot of spam in there. So I'm just kind of going back and delete 50,000 emails.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of email.
That is a lot of email.
If you do them in chunks of 500 though, it's it goes faster, but it still has to process.
Do you not delete things when you're done with them?
No, I try to anything of any remote importance I keep. I'm an email hoarder.
You are an email
hoarder.
If
email hoarding could involve having dead cats under stacks of emails, I would have an entire humane society. I mean, just like how on the Hoarder show.
You're a virtual hoarder.
I'm a virtual hoarder. I really am. I mean, I keep emails. Mm-hmm. And because to me, I mean, they're just on the server. And I'm going to answer my question here. My thought was, what's it hurt? It's on a server. It's not like it's sitting over here or you're junking up my desktop or something like that. This is the problem. Eventually it goes and says, you have too much of a mess over here on our computer system now that you gotta call the junk people because we found 42 cats over here.
D- deal with it as it comes in, one at a time?
Oh, I do deal with it one at a time, but then I just don't delete.
Oh.
I just keep going. I mean, I read every email that comes in. I just don't delete them mm-hmm. when I'm done. I just kind of just keeps going.
Okay.
So that's all that is. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter that comes in. James says, "Hi, guys. Love the show. I have a few stories, but the one I want to share happened 12 years ago in, of all places, a Halloween costume shop. I was an assistant manager, and the general manager and I were there just about all day, every day. We started to notice movement in the back of the store at night when everyone was gone. I remember looking up from my paperwork, just talking, and then seeing a blur of movement. Both of us saw this many times. After a few weeks, we talked about bringing in a camera to take pictures, like TV shows. I did. I took about a dozen or so pictures at night when we were closed up, and I checked, but no luck in capturing anything. The store closed at the end of the season, and that seemed to be the end. Fast forward a couple years, I'd hooked up the camera and the computer, and now I had a bigger screen to view the pictures on. All of them were duds except the last. The view was looking from the entrance to the back of the store towards the House of Horrors. This was where the demons, vampires, evil costumes were at. And the picture was a person wearing medical scrubs. It was not a worker, and all the mannequins were hanging on the ceiling. I remember that the ghost had an arm outstretched and was looking at me. I also remember it had shoes on, white ones. Unfortunately, the camera no longer works. I had printed out the picture on paper, but have since lost it. I'll keep searching. I do not know the history of that particular area, but I will try to find out. I've been tempted to go back and ask the new business if they see anything, but it's now a liquor store, and they might think I had one too many. Thanks, and keep up the great show."
I hate the imagery of it reaching out towards you. Like, I just want it to not know I'm watching it.
Yeah. That would be creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, it might be kind of awkward going into the liquor store and asking. But hey, they may, they may know.
Yeah.
They may have some similar experiences to share. It's always interesting, especially, a lot of times Halloween stores, they go into kind of temporary locations mm-hmm. for short periods of time. And then it's eventually maybe another store does go in there permanently, or they go back to that same location the following year if it's still empty. And they can pop up in odd locations.
Mm-hmm.
And everything from shut down restaurants to circuit cities to, depending on the location. I mean, it could be older buildings. It could be in an old doctor's office or hospital building or what have you.
Yeah.
Low rent and open space is what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So be interesting to hear if there's some history to that that building, if he finds anything out. So please do let us know what you discover there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It is amazing what they have now in the Halloween stores.
Oh, I know. It's wonderful.
Around Halloween time, I was grabbing a little clips of video clips that I would find of like the new, things you could buy, mm-hmm. attractions, the moving zombie things. And every year I'm just amazed. I mean, you think it'd be kind of like it would peak out at some point, but no, it's like it gets a little bit better every year. And it's like it's surpassed like what they would have used to have had at Disney, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just it's creepy as hell. And once the girls get older.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. So fun. I will start watching scary movies when the girls are older.
You will?
I used to when I was like in middle school and high school. I would watch them on Halloween because, I was too old to trick or treat. And
sure.
We didn't have trick or treaters come way out in the country where we were. So it was, caramel corn and scary movie night. And mm-hmm. that was so fun.
So are you saying once the girls are old enough, we're going to be allowed to watch The Conjuring 2 at home?
No, there'll be some that we can watch.
That one's still on the blacklist.
But I don't want to watch ones that are too scary. Just kind of, good Halloween movies, but not like you're going to get a demon in your house if you watch it kind of shit.
What about the Human Centipede? We do a Human Centipede marathon with the kids.
Watch Human Centipede. That's like the worst thing I've ever heard of.
No. I've never watched it. I've never even seen a clip of it. I've just seen like the cover.
Yeah.
Or the poster
yeah.
for it. And like, that's enough. I'm good.
Even I am kind of like, yeah, I think I'm good. I don't think I want to see that one. 855-853-4802. Of course, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm going to keep myself anonymous for this story to give you a little backstory. I work in licensing comic characters. Characters appear on every imaginable product around the world. Several years after our character's creator passed, an odd thing happened to me. At the time, I had a very large office filled with walls of products, so it looked more like a toy store than an office. My desk sat at a 90-degree angle from one of the walls, and on the opposite wall was a large window with a short filing cabinet below the window. On one side of the cabinet of the floor sat a very small child's beach chair from Japan, and sitting on the chair was a large plush doll. The chair sat at a 45-degree angle between the side of the cabinet and the wall, so if the doll were to fall sideways, it would either hit the side of the cabinet or the wall. It could only really fall forward. One day, I'm sitting at my desk talking to our IT person, and the doll is clearly in both our views, when suddenly the doll rotated on the chair. Not fall, but rotated about 20 degrees. We both stopped talking immediately and looked at each other. I asked, did you see that? And he says, the doll turning? We both said yes. The plush doll was about 18 to 20 inches tall and floppy, so there's no way this thing could have rotated like this on its own. You have to grab it by the head and turn. I now work in another building in our campus, and people who still work in that building say there is early mornings. They hear footsteps coming down the hall. But then there is no one there. My late boss loved what he did more than anything, and the doll that moved was one of his most famous characters, so I would not be surprised if he's still hanging around his studio.
I think that's what it is, moving the doll, probably trying to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That'd be great if you had, like, a character, and then you could, like, kind of come back, you know, not necessarily as it, but to manipulate it,
mm-hmm.
to screw with people. That'd be lovely.
That would be pretty cool.
There's a toy museum here that we went to the other day, me and Harp did, and they have a whole like little like display case of like the Charlie McCarthy dolls,
mm-hmm.
the creepy old ones. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Did she like that?
Well, I was like, she's like, those are creepy. And then she went to look at the McDonald's toys more. But I thought it was just, you know, mm-hmm. I should have taken a picture, but I didn't. But it was up there in the creepy factor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I've never liked those dolls. I never liked really any dolls, mm-mm. for that matter. The big, anything beyond the size of a Barbie is just kind of gets into the creepiness to me.
Yeah.
Did you ever do the?
I had some porcelain dolls. I had, I think at the most, like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I had one that had blue eyes and red hair, and she wore a little yellow dress. And then I got my real.
Then you got a real one.
And red hair and little yellow dress.
Yeah. I will say that those American Girl dolls, they've discovered a way to make dolls not so creepy.
Well, sure.
I don't know what they did or what's really different about those than like dolls of years gone by. Is it just because they're more lifelike looking?
No, I think it's because they're dressed more modern. Used to be dolls were mm-hmm. dressed like, you know, in baby doll gowns.
Yeah.
Or dressed in... is. Almost like old-fashioned stuff where you see them in the magazines and you can order it and it's got ringlets and ruffles and all
sure.
kinds of crap. These look like, you know, they're dressed and styled like kids you see today.
They don't have like the creepy faces.
No.
There's something, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's odd. Let's go to our next story. Desiree writes in, this is going to be long. I just hope I didn't get to forget anything. This isn't really a ghost story, but it feels paranormal. Yesterday, I went to a metaphysical shop where I had bought some crystals before. I haven't had a reading done. My mother, sister, and I went back to see if my sister could get her reading done. However, she wasn't in. So I wandered around the store and went to the crystals. I wanted one that would possibly help with my psychic abilities. I found this aqua-colored piece called blue. I'm bad with pronouncing names and rock names. Apatite? Apatite?
I don't know.
It's something of that nature. As soon as I touched it, I felt tingly, kind of like a faint cool breeze blew over my hand. It wasn't environmental. We were in the middle of summer in the desert and the shop didn't have their AC on. I kept it in my hand while still wandering and the feeling crawled up my arm to my head. I asked my sister to hold it for me, see if it was just me. As soon as it dropped into her hand, she got the chills all the way up my spine. That's what she said. She purchased our stuff and left. The whole time, I kind of felt shifted and dizzy. The best way I can describe it is as if someone traced me on a paper and tried to align it to the original, but it wasn't perfect. After we came back home, I put the stone on my nightstand and didn't touch it. I wasn't going to mess with it without knowing what I was getting into. Fast forward to the following afternoon, I go to lay down for a nap, and before I turn over to sleep, it's around 2:24 p.m. I feel like I immediately fall asleep, but at the same time, as the dream started, as soon as I close my eyes, here's the dream. I turn over in my bed, holding that aqua-colored crystal to my forehead, eyes closed. I see sunlight through my eyelids. I see an oval pulse over, kind of like my eyes. Think of eyes from Buddha statues. The oval pulsed over that, and I kind of knew it was a third eye. And the eyes and oval merged into a cleric symbol. Or a Trinity knot.
A Celtic?
Celtic?
Say Celtic?
It says C-L-E-R-I-C.
I think it means like Celtic.
Okay. Is that just spell check?
I think so.
Okay. Then it started to pulse. Then back. I couldn't see anything. I was aware of my surroundings. I could be just fine, but I couldn't see. Since I can wake myself up from dreams I don't like, I tensed all my muscles in my body to jerk myself awake when I heard, "Relax." And the voice was over, behind me, and distinctly male. I've heard a voice once before to "don't be stupid" once while driving, but I'm sure it was the same voice. Either way, I relaxed and tried to calm down. I tried calling out, but everything was slow as molasses. I couldn't move my arms or turn over. Finally was able to a bit at the time, and I managed to sit up. I blinked away the grit that I felt in my eyes and made it to my mom's room. I told her what happened, and she replied with, "Don't do that if you don't know what you're doing. You could bring something bad back with you. Don't touch them until you learn or take some classes." I didn't disagree with anything she said, and I walked back into my room and I woke up. For real this time, the clock on my phone said 3:24 p.m. Called my mom because she was at work. I told her about my dream, and she basically was exactly like she was in my inception of the dream. I also asked if she heard me calling for her. We sometimes can tell someone is trying to get a hold of us by something or some weird way. I told her about the time I fell asleep, and she mentioned that she heard something or someone calling out, but thought it was my sister. My mom asked her. She was dropped off at work by my sister, and my sister said no. So that's what happened this time. By the way, the crystal has properties. Lucid dreaming, psychic activation, astral travel, past life access, eye strain, headaches. May cause nausea or vomiting. That's what I added in there. Don't use a crystal if you're pregnant or nursing. It's kind of like a disclaimer for a medication.
Yeah.
Love the podcast. I listen to all the ones you have on Spotify, and I'm trying to get an EPP subscription as well as a way to get your other episodes from iTunes. I'll write in about my other experiences. Thanks, guys, for sharing.
I don't know a lot about crystals, but I know people that carry them believe in them, like, religiously as far as their abilities to manipulate energies and protection. That would be something worth me looking into more for just knowledge for the show.
Sure. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of knowledge on the topic of crystals other than a lot of people do swear by them and a lot of people do have experiences with them. So I would kind of go with the advice that the mom gave in the dream and in real life.
Yeah.
Something I really wouldn't screw around with unless I knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for the, and I'm not saying bad, you know.
That's just good advice for anything.
Yeah, it's just understand what you're doing with whatever you're doing it with.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Jay writes in, "I've always believed in the paranormal since I was a little girl. I had my first experience when I was around 10 years old. I have had many experiences since then, but this isn't going to be about me. Instead, I'm writing to you about my experience in my non-believing skeptical husband had. Before I tell you about his experience, though, I need to set the scene with a backstory. We have three children, a 6-year-old boy, a 9-year-old girl, and a 21-year-old boy. Lately, the 21-year-old has been watching movies on DVD before going to bed. Every night he comes into our room to pick a movie. We keep our DVD collection in the armoire at the foot of the bed. Of course, there's a space between the bed and the armoire, and it is a place on the angle which makes it closer to my corner of the bed. Our TV sits on top of the armoire. The cabinet part houses the DVD collection. What?
Nothing. I just like how you say armoire.
Armoire? How should I say it?
Armoire.
Armoire? How about amore?
Okay.
I could be really like, I don't know how to say this. You're like, I'd buy the amore.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Armoire?
Just keep going.
The bottom has two drawers for clothes. On this night in question, the 21-year-old came into our room just like the previous night to pick a movie. He took one and left after talking with his dad about how well the movie was made and whether it was worth watching. Like every other night, my husband and I each retreated to one of the other kids' bedrooms. Every night we switched back and forth between the two younger ones' rooms where we read them stories before putting them to bed. When the little ones are sleeping, we leave their rooms and meet up in our room for our good night's sleep. It is during this sleep time that the experience happened. In the morning, my husband told me that Jesse, our 21-year-old, came into our room last night. That he, my husband, woke up to see Jesse looking through the armoire for a DVD. He saw him using the light on his phone to look through the collection. My husband said that he acted like he was still asleep because he didn't want to get into a conversation during the middle of the night. He said he peeked and opened his eyes several times to check to see if he was gone, but he was always there. He said that he must have finally fallen back to sleep because the next thing he remembers, he was waking up in the morning and Jesse wasn't there. It's like, okay, maybe he wanted another movie. Maybe he didn't find maybe he didn't like the first one or something. I'm sure he didn't mean to wake you. He was mad or anything, just to relaying the story. When Jesse woke up, my husband confronted him with the story and he told him that he saw him come into our bedroom and search for a movie. Jesse was confused. He said that he never came into our room after getting that initial movie. And that he went to sleep after watching it. My husband insisted, and still does to this day, that Jesse came into our room. He said he saw him looking through the armoire with his phone light. Jesse insisted that he didn't. My husband said that Jesse was sleepwalking. He put out the possibility that he, my husband, was dreaming. He'll insist that he wasn't. He remembers opening and closing his eyes several times, checking on whether Jesse left or not. Now, another little bit of background knowledge so you can make an informed decision on your own. Jesse has been known to sleepwalk. He's 21 now and hasn't done it since he was 10. When he did it, he always came to me, woke me up, and talked nonsense to me. I'd walk him back to his bed, and he'd stay there for the rest of the night. I don't think a sleepwalker would turn on a phone flashlight, so I don't think the sleepwalking theory pans out. I'd go with the dreaming theory, but like I said earlier, I've had my own experiences. One experience I had, which was in a different house, was during a sleep state, just like my husband. I know that I was awake and not sleeping, so I can relate to his insistence. So that leaves one other option, the most far-fetching one according to most of the population, a ghost or doppelganger. Now, as a true believer in the paranormal, I was still going with dreaming for the answer until I recalled an experience I had a few weeks before. Like I previously stated, we read to our younger kids and lie with them until they fall asleep. For any of you new parents out there, do not start this with your children. My daughter is 9 and we still do this. When will it end? Anyway, I was reading to my 6-year-old, and when I was finished, I said goodnight, kissed him, rolled over, and went to sleep. Usually, I'll fall asleep for a little, waiting until he's asleep, then get up and sneak out. On more than one occasion, I too have fallen into a deep, long sleep. My husband will come and wake me. On this particular night, I heard him open the door. The door sticks and makes a noise when you open it. It was this noise that I heard which woke me. I was usually tired and didn't want to get up, so I kept my eyes closed. I figured I could get a couple of extra seconds of sleep if I waited until he nudges me. Now keep in mind that I was thinking all of this while I was lying there, so I know that I wasn't sleeping. I even opened my eyes once very quickly to see them. But the door was shut and no one was there. I thought, okay, he left. I'll wait until he comes back again. So I continued to lie there. Sure enough, I heard the door open again. This time, I heard and felt him walk towards me. I was waiting for him to shake me, but he didn't. This is where it gets really strange. Instead of shaking me, he bent down and gave me the softest, most gentlest, passionate kiss I ever received from him. I was like, wow. Before he had a chance to pull away, I opened my eyes. He wasn't there. The door closed. I was in total shock and disbelief. I quickly left the room and walked down the hall to my room. My husband was lying in bed waiting for me. I was still in shock. I did my nightly routine and got back into bed. Then I told him what happened. He's a skeptic, like I said, so he laughed and said it was a ghost. He knows I like that stuff. Later he said it was dreaming. This all happened before his experience. When I retold the story to him after his experience, he still said mine was a dream and Jesse was sleepwalking. What do you think?
I think two coincidences in one night isn't a coincidence.
Yeah, the same night. That's what kind of makes it weird.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I dream sleep, dream, I'm sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I will wake up or dream I wake up in bed. And it can be completely non-eventful. It can be that I woke up from sleeping and, you know, sat up and looked over at the nightstand or something or my phone or something. And I'm dreaming that I'm doing all of this. And the only way I realize it is like the phone, like the numbers aren't working correctly or,
right.
You know, there's some piece of that, some piece of evidence that tells me, wait a second. And then boom, either I go, I'm back in the dream state or I wake up for the real, although I have had it like where it's a series of waking up in the dream.
Yeah.
Where I dream that I'm having an experience where I'm just getting out of bed. And then I realize, oh, wait a second, I'm dreaming. And then, bam, I'm still dreaming, but it propels me back to dreaming. I'm waking up. And then I really think I am waking up again. And it's like Groundhog's Day. Over and over. It's like just smash cut back to dreaming you're waking up. Smash cut dreaming. And then you don't quite know when you're waking up.
Wow.
Until eventually you have to like pinch yourself or do something. Then you're like, okay, now I know I'm awake. You ever have that?
No.
That's a fun one.
I don't think I've ever had that.
That'll screw with you. So I could see and understand him fervently believing he saw his son standing there and really have just dreamt. But when you have the other things mixed in where other people are having these experiences at the same time, that does lean more towards being paranormal.
Yeah.
So someday you have to have one of those dreams. It's really fun. You got to press the dream button box, you know, on the side of the bed so you can decide what type of dream you want to have.
That sounds fun.
I remember watching the Jetsons when I was a kid and Elroy had a box like that. And I thought, wow, in the future, this is how it's going to be. I can't wait. I have the phone where I can press buttons on it, but it still does not tell me what I'm going to dream about. And I can't pick my dream yet. Arlene writes in, it's been about a week or so since I've discovered your podcast, and I'm glad I did. A friend of mine turned me on to it. Of course, I only listen to it at work because I'm way too scared to listen at home. I love you guys' stories. I just became an EPP. Can't wait to listen to all those additional stories. Anyway, on to my unexplained situation. I don't think I ever actually experienced paranormal activity, maybe just bits and pieces of it. I've always been into ghosts and things. I even did a presentation on the paranormal in sixth grade, so I've always been curious about the unknown. It wasn't until about this last year or so that I've experienced things that I really can't explain. Ironically enough, these situations almost always happen when I'm sleeping or dreaming. The experience I'm writing about is the one that spooks me the most. It happened about roughly 6 months to a year ago. At the time, I'd been living with an ex who claimed to have dealt with spirits in the past. He moved into my apartment. I had been living in my apartment alone for some time now without anything happening. My ex and I had both been asleep at the time, faintly, but still clear enough. I heard a man say something along the lines of, "Wake up." The tone wasn't aggressive or anything, but it did catch my attention enough to wake me up. Well, I heard the voice, my ex-boyfriend immediately sat up. I asked him what was going on, and his response was that he had heard a man's voice telling him to wake up. I convinced him it was just a dream. I was too scared to tell him that I had heard the voices, too. It took me forever to fall back asleep, but luckily nothing else happened that night. Do you guys think it's possible that it was what we heard, someone or something, or could we have possibly been dreaming the same thing? Love to hear you guys' feedback, but I kind of think whatever it was, perhaps, was hinging onto my ex, if anything, especially since he claims he's had run-ins with spirits before. Ever since he's moved out, I try to sage my house routinely and haven't heard any voices since, thank God. Thank you guys so much for creating this podcast. It's awesome that I can ask someone about my life experiences without feeling judged. It truly makes me feel like I'm not alone when it comes to these experiences. I may write in again in the future. I've had lots of lucid dreams and feelings that are scary and very realistic. We even had what I think is a green orb aura that follows me around. It pops up in pictures from time to time, but maybe that's for another time. Thanks again. Don't ever stop these podcasts.
I think if you're dreaming the same thing as somebody else that's with you, it's more than a dream. But I wonder if maybe something was attached to the ex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of brought it in and kind of went away when he went away.
Oh, the fact that it sounds like he's had experiences before and then exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Came and it went, and the fact that they both had the experience at the same time. Yeah, I would say that's certainly beyond a dream,
mm-hmm.
You know. Could it just have been somebody outside yelling really loud and you heard it? In theory, sure, but I don't know. That's, you know, you can probably narrow that down pretty quick if there's likely somebody out there or not.
Yeah, there's just too many things that say this is something that is with him.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the show. Alyssa writes in, I'm an EPP member and I love your podcast. You told my story about shopping for a house about 6 months ago, but I now have another one for you. I've been a sleepwalker and a sleep talker for most of my life. The doctors that my parents took me to as a child reassured my parents that sleepwalking and talking is very common in children and that I'd eventually outgrow it, but I never have. For the most part, my sleepwalking and talking has been a source of mild interest and amusement for the people who have lived with me as an adult. My fiancé has learned to just gently steer me back to bed if he finds me on the walkabout in my sleep. It hasn't really been a huge problem. The thing that is distinctive about my sleepwalking is that since I have been an adult, I always seem to have a purpose, even though I don't understand what that purpose is. When my roommate in my early 20s caught me sleepwalking. Okay, I get it now.
The roommate that he had in his early 20s.
Comma was in a weird place.
Yeah, sorry.
That made me say it incorrectly. I was always doing the same thing, rummaging frantically through a drawer somewhere in the house. My fiance reports the same when he catches me sleepwalking. I'm always in the middle of pulling out drawers, either dresser drawers or kitchen drawers. First time he caught me at it, I was rummaging through the drawer under our stove. Thing is, I never remember any of it. I don't remember doing it, and I don't remember what I was looking for. Recently, my fiancé and I bought a house that we love and that I can picture spending the rest of my life in. And here's where things changed. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to take a nap with no one else around. My fiancé and I have 4 children between us from our first marriages, so that's very rare. I wanted my nap. At some point during my nap, I feel like I was woken up. It's hard to say because everything felt a little surreal, but at the same time, I was very aware of my surroundings, and I remembered everything later, which I've never done before. I woke up in our bed, in our bedroom, which looked exactly the same as it looks. The reason I woke up is because I heard noises coming from a bedroom down the hall. I walked down the hall, and everything was exactly as it was in life. A toy that my youngest had left out was still sitting in the middle of the hall, exactly as it had been when I went to sleep and when I woke up again. I walked down the hallway to our middle son's bedroom, which is where the noise was coming from, and opened the door. The second I opened the door, I felt embarrassed and confused. One time, when I was a kid, I accidentally walked into our neighbor's apartment instead of ours. That's exactly how I felt in that moment. The room was completely different from what I knew. It was just a bed, had a desk instead of the bunk beds and toys and whatnot, and I would know is usual for that room. There was an old woman in the room digging through the desk drawers. I immediately said sorry and started to back up. The old woman turned around and first looked scared and mad, but then, after staring at me for a minute, her expression changed and she looked very loving. I honestly don't remember much about her physically now. Like what she was wearing or anything like that. Just her eyes growing soft at the sight of me. But the one thing I do remember is her forehead. I don't know why I'd even look for that, but she had three very small red birthmarks on her forehead in the shape of a perfect upside-down triangle. I had the same birthmark. She took my arm and led me downstairs to my living room, which was perfectly normal and recognizable. She had me lay down on the couch and covered me with the throw that's always on the back of my couch. I went back to sleep. I woke up on the couch with the throw on me. I remembered my dream. It never happens. What do you think this all means?
I think that she caught a glimpse of herself in the future because of the birthmark. And mm-hmm. that's part of the reason that at first the old woman seemed kind of mad, but then when she saw who it was, and she was like, oh, it's okay. It's just me in my younger days.
Now, is this like a glimpse of something that she's going to have happen at some point? Or is this just kind of like the conscious and the unconscious you taking care of yourself?
Like a weird wrinkle in time kind of thing.
Yeah. Very, very odd. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. Dove says, I'd first like to say I have had countless experiences for all of my life, even before I can remember. My mom always tells me of how I told her I saw a man with black shoes in the house when no one was there. The story happened to me for many years, starting at the age of 6 that I remember. I was always the kind of kid that believed monsters lived in the closet and they came out from midnight to 3 a.m., no later than 5 a.m. This one night around 3:33 a.m., I woke up for no reason, but then I realized I heard what sounded like footsteps on our carpet, walking by the foot of my bed to the side, and then so on. I was frozen still, but trying to think logically. We do have a cat, so I thought maybe somehow got in. I gathered the courage to sit up and look towards the sound, but I saw absolutely nothing, and the sound continued. I froze, still again, and I laid back down. Somehow, I managed to fall asleep. When I woke up, it was around 7:30, and it was gone. Quickly ran out of my room without looking behind me, and watched some cartoons to get it off my mind. But that isn't the end. Just 2 months after, I woke up at 3:32 a.m. and again heard that noise. Knowing it wasn't my cat and no one was in my room but myself. It made it so much scarier. Then I noticed my closet was cracked open. I always shut it before bed because, as stated earlier, I always thought monsters lived there. It made it all the harder to fall asleep knowing it was open, and every time I looked in there, I swore I could see something moving, trying to look at me. Somehow I fell asleep, but I stayed in bed until my parents came to get me up so I wouldn't be alone. This continued for many years, which slowed and for a while stopped when I was 9. Then when I was 10 or 11, that same sound happened. Now, it was 5:32 a.m., but I was so used to it by now, it was easy to fall asleep to. Just a week later, around that exact same time, I woke, startled. I was hearing a scream. It wasn't like a human screaming, though. It sounded like nothing I'd ever heard before. At first, as I was still waking up, I thought it was part of a terrible dream, but I quickly realized, even now, that I was fully awake. I still heard it. The noise was coming from under my bed. I wasn't ever more scared than I was at that moment. I thought I could hear heavy breathing from under my bed. I didn't dare move. I didn't even twitch a finger. The tiredness eventually fell over, and somehow again I fell asleep. Trying to be brave, when I woke back up around 8 or 9, I walked to the door to go downstairs and I wanted to get breakfast. I made the stupidest mistake of looking back. At first, it looked normal. Then I heard a small noise, almost like a scratch, a very quiet screech. And I saw what looked like some dark, bony hand move under the bed. I quickly opened the door and slammed it shut and ran down the hallway as fast as I could.
A bony hand back under the bed.
We've had hand stories before.
Lots of hand stories, but the thing is, if it's going back under the bed, like it's pulling back in, what's attached to it?
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean like thing.
No, it's not like it's just running around the room like a spider and it darts under your bed. I'm thinking something's like reaching out and pulling it back.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we've got some terrible imagery today. I'm going to have nightmares.
For the longest time, I really couldn't like hang my legs off the bed. Can you still not do that?
Nope. Even if I get hot and I stick a foot out of the blankets, it has to be on the bed. It cannot be hanging over.
Just in case the bony hand reaches
that
up.
That edge of the bed is going to protect me from whatever's under the bed.
Be great to get... you totally could do it with one of the, like, the animatronic like things from the Halloween store now.
Uh-huh.
It's like, just reaches up.
I would be so mad if you did that to me.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever dare do that.
It would be off the cliff.
That would be really horrifying. Because that would be something you really don't see coming. And it's just, that'd be creepy. Winetta writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been a listener for almost 2 years now. And as everyone says, I'm a proud EPP. I finally found the courage to write this story about one of my daughter's experiences. I'm not the best storyteller, but I love recounting this story to family and friends and hope you can use it. First, I want to give you a brief family history. I grew up with a super sensitive mother. I'd awaken at night to her screams from seeing different ghosts. Therefore, I grew up very afraid at the idea of ghosts. I knew that once I became a mom, I'd shield my children from ghost stories and anything paranormal. So when I was blessed with my son and daughter, there was never any talk of ghosts, no scary movies, and only cute costumes on Halloween. Here's my daughter's story. When Kendall was 5, I separated from her father after 10 years of marriage. I moved back to my hometown, and all I could afford was a 2-bedroom small apartment. My son had 1 bedroom, and Kendall and I shared the other. I started dating a guy that worked overnight at the factory. On the weekends, he would come by around 2 a.m. on his lunch break. We'd talk, watch TV, and I'd fix him a few sandwiches. This one night he came over. I handed him his lunch, and he sat down to eat. But 5 minutes later, we heard a loud bang, and all the lights went out. He was so freaked out that he left his half-eaten lunch and ran out of the apartment. I was puzzled because I thought it was just a power surge. Went to my room, cuddled up to Kendall, and was about to doze off until she said, 'Mama, look! Who's that girl, Mama? I can see her. Hair, her eyes, her gown. Mama, why isn't her feet touching the ground at all, Mama?' All the time she's talking to me, I was frozen like I was in a trance. I couldn't react to anything she was saying. I was frozen, stiff as a board. After a few minutes, which seemed like hours, I was finally able to say, 'Kendall, go turn the bathroom light on.' She got up and turned the light on and hopped back into bed fast. She said, 'Mama, they're mad now.' And I said, 'Why are they mad?' And she said, 'They're mad because they don't like light.' I knew then that we're dealing with something dark. My mom, with her many years of paranormal experience, came and blessed the apartment, putting pieces of the Bible above the door frames, praying and putting blessed oils in different places. I moved out of the apartment a few months later. Fast forward 10 years later, Kendall is a typical teenage girl. She's out trick-or-treating with her friends, and I was pissed because at the age she should have been helping me pass out candy. A couple of hours later, I got a call from an unidentified number, and it was a lady telling me that Kendall was in a car wreck and was ejected from the car. I was hysterical like any parent would be. When me and her brother made it to the crash site, I couldn't believe that she was still alive. The car was total, and she was lying on her back, moaning as the EMTs were asking her questions. She was in such a state of shock that all she could say was, 'Mama, am I still pretty?' Once we got to the hospital and we discovered that she had no broken bones and no internal injuries, she snapped out of it and told me what happened. A car ran the stop sign and hit the car she was in. During the impact, her door came ajar and she was thrown out. She said that she was rolling on the ground, and her dad grabbed her in his arms. He then told her that she was okay and to go help her friends because they needed it. Kendall's dad died of cancer 2 years earlier, so this was either his spirit or her guardian angel taking the form of her dad so she wouldn't be scared. She described what he was wearing, and I knew the clothing she described. There's no way to keep the paranormal away from my kids. It found them. I truly believe that Kendall inherited her grandmother's sensitivity. Hope we can use the story. Love the show. Keep up the great work."
She said either it's the spirit of Kendall's dad or the guardian angel, you know, showing up looking like Kendall's dad.
Sure.
Can't Kendall's dad be the guardian angel?
I would think anything is possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know some people have like ideas like, oh, people can't be this. I don't know. I throw anything where somebody has an absolute out the window.
Oh, I'm just asking. I'm not
trying
to stir the pot. I'm just curious. And I know that you're right. People have definite opinions about what can or can't be
Mm-hmm.
But that was just my first thought.
Sure. I would think, yes, that just could certainly be a possibility based on, you know, stories that we've had of loved ones coming back and essentially looking over the living, and not just loved ones that are from like a different generation. Well, this is your great grandfather. You never met him because he died years ago. We've had it where this is someone who's was in your life while you were alive, and now they are still in your life on the other side. So, yeah, I would certainly think so.
Yeah.
There you go. Good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. I would love to know what happened to the boyfriend that abandoned them once he heard the pop and ran out of the apartment.
That sounded like a Transformer, but yeah, the little girl floating and being mad about the lights. That's not good.
Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, as we always say here, if you like our program, please help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. Or you can do the full year membership and get yourself Bunk Bed Bell and one of those months for free. So not a bad little offer there, too. It helps keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com to do that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.